I love these people that want me on the radio show, and then they don't let me talk. I got a lot to say, and I like to say it loudly. But anyway, he invites me on the show because he wants to talk about heart disease. And I had thousands of patients in my clinic that were dropping dead of heart disease. So I told him what my protocols were, just some basics. It freaked him out. What a lightweight. Freaked him out. And he goes, well, what herb would you suggest as an easy, basic herb for someone with heart disease? And I said, okay, let's start with garlic. And he goes, why garlic? And I go, how many hundreds of reasons do you want? I mean, garlic stops the red blood from clotting, stops the platelets from aggregating or sticking together. Blood clots cause heart disease, heart attacks, and stroke. It increases your HDLs, your high-density lipoproteins, which take fat out of your blood, and reduces your LDLs and your VLDLs, which take fat into your blood. It even thins your white blood. I can go on for garlic for hours. But he said, he cut me off. He said, well, he goes, I think this is a bit extreme. He said, 3 cloves of garlic. He goes, that'll give a person diarrhea. And he goes, it would be a gastrointestinal irritation. I think this is way over the top. I let him go. I just thought, let this guy see how far he wants to go out to commit herbal suicide. And he just went on. He said, and then there was a little break. I just let him talk. And he goes, well, he goes, you know, I find that garlic, obviously Dr. Schultz isn't up with the newest research of garlic capsules. You know, they are much better today than they used to be when he ran his clinic. I guess I'm an old fart now. And he went on and on about garlic giving diarrhea. And then finally, after 8 minutes of him jacking his jaw, I got to come back on. I said, well, Gary, I said, we're talking about two different things. I said, you know, my patients were so happy that their heart was beating and they weren't dead and they didn't have to have a four-way bypass that they didn't care that they might have pooped their pants. In fact, they didn't even notice. To the point where none of them ever told me they got diarrhea. I said, in fact, maybe you don't know what a normal bowel movement is. Because I eat 3 cloves of garlic today, okay? And so maybe I was up there having diarrhea, I don't know. But the point is let's not worry about diarrhea when my patients were ticking time bombs. I had a man drop dead in the driveway of my clinic. I had 2 patients have strokes in my waiting room. My job was to keep them alive right now. Right now. They can fine-tune later at somebody's happy, healthy rainbow clinic. I like rainbows, but you know what I mean? Right now it's blood and guts. They're dropping dead. They're going to blow up on me. I had patients with cholesterol levels of 600 and 700, 800. I had one lady with a cholesterol level of 1,500 and triglycerides of 9,000. I had record breakers in there, and they were time bombs, and they were going to blow up. And I don't care if they got diarrhea. Okay? I care that the heart pumps the blood back to the heart and the lungs and the brain so they can breathe and stay alive. We can always give them a little something for the diarrhea a couple months later, but they never got it. But do you see what I mean? He was all worried about the fine-tuning. You know how much I hear about this? Well, you know about the diet for your body type, you know, and the type O, you shouldn't eat meat, and I'm a type O. Hey, guess what? I'm a type O. I've been a vegan for 30 years. Maybe I'm dead, and I don't know it. Fine-tuning and balancing is cool when you're happy, healthy, and alive and vibrant. But when you're going to be dead tomorrow, or the doctor said you were going to be dead 6 months ago, you have to first get alive. You have to stop the animal foods, and I don't care what blood type you are, because they're clogging up your blood. It's like molasses, and you're going to drop dead. And the cancer tumor can't get the circulation. Do you know what I'm saying? So in my clinic, okay, maybe it was crude, but we had to deal with the important issues now. Because while my patients were fine-tuning their constitutional type, they would have died. They would have dropped dead. Their cancer would have eaten up their whole body. And I watched patients do that and die, fiddle around with fine-tuning and not get to the bottom line. So, You stop eating. You cleanse every elimination organ. And you move. You got to increase that circulation. Hot and cold showers 3 times a day. Morning, noon, and night. Cold sheet treatment once a week. Skin brushing. Just hang out with a skin brush. I mean, okay, you have to buy 3. Gosh, that's going to set you back $10. You know, I have 1 skin brush in my shower that I use wet. I have another one in my bathroom and bedroom that I use dry. And I have one in the jacuzzi that I just kind of play with. You skin brush. You're hot and cold. Do your cold sheet treatment. And then start getting into exercise. You got to find some way to move your body that you're having a fun time with. People are so cheap with themselves. I can't believe it. My patients, I used to have to force them to spend a nickel on taking care of themselves. You know, when they went to the auto parts store, they bought the most expensive oil filter for their car. But they bought the cheapest on sale food that you had to cut the bad spots off of for themselves. Do you know what I'm saying? Let the car fall apart, guys. You know, let your house go to shambles. Let the paint peel off. But take care of this. Because believe me, I spent a lot of time with my patients on their deathbeds. And when you're there, none of this other stuff matters. So learn from what I'm saying, because none of this other stuff matters. It's all just material stuff that we play with. But if that stuff will make you succeed, play with it. So a lot of my patients, I got them to do things to get them to move better. You have to walk. You have to walk around. You have to move around. You have to maybe start running, doing some hatha yoga, swimming. You've got to exercise 2-3 times a day. And as you're exercising, think about where you're stuck, where that blockage is. Oh, you could call it cancer, but if you call it cancer, you're probably going to freak yourself out. You can go ahead and call it malignant neoplastic sarcoma. You can even, some people have come up with words in here that I don't even know. I mean, I've never even heard of them. There's a new word a day. Doctors love to do this, put some new words together. I don't even know what it is. I don't even care what it is, because you're blocked. I saw a lot of things in my clinic, but I never saw a spleen walk in and tell me they had a headache. You know, there's a whole thing here. It really got simpler. Every year of my clinic, it got simpler. You know, I always say to people, when I first started out in herbology, I wanted to find the cure for cancer. It would have had to been exotic herbs from the Himalayas and probably the rainforest too, because that's very cool right now. And it would have had to been for, you know, these herbs had to be expensive and hard to get, and they had to be rare, and the formulas had to be very intricate and hard to make, and you boil this for 27 hours and reduce it to a quarter its part, and I'd need to have scientific equipment. But I also knew that I had to do the foundations, and my patients had the gall to get well before I got to make any of my exotic formulas. In fact, 80% of the patients in my clinic were healed of what they came in with just by cleansing out their bowel. And 95% of them across the board were healed by doing all the programs. And I never got to do any specifics. So don't think about it as a cancer. Think about it as you got a block. Just like a headache, well, maybe you have a brain tumor, okay? Or maybe you have a bad blood flow to your head. Maybe you just need to shut up and breathe. I don't know. But we have to get it unblocked, no matter what it is. Get it unblocked. And so with the hydrotherapy and the movement, look at the area that's stuck and think of more ways to unstick it. Focus the hydrotherapy there. Focus the massage therapy there. Focus your meditation there. Focus what your herbs you're putting in your body and how they're going to work there. Unblock the stuck area. And when it comes to the emotions, my patients that were dying of diseases based on their immune system wasn't working anymore, had to become a new person. There's no doubt about it. The better the healing that you have, the more transformation that you'll have up here. You have to become a new person. You have to take a look at your life and all the ways you're a jerk. Heck, I look at that all the time. Of course, I can't find any because I'm perfect. But if I wasn't, You have to look and change and laugh about it. Don't take it so seriously. I want to answer some questions here. My cancer is hereditary. Will this program work? Everything's hereditary. Everything. You're a product of your mom and your dad. All your good stuff, all your bad stuff, all your in-between stuff. It's funny how we like to take pride for our great build, but if we're sick, we go, well, it's hereditary. But everything's hereditary, guys. Don't let that word scare you. Well, you're more prone to cancer because your mom died of it or your dad died of it. Sure, but it's not just genetic. Your mom and dad knew how to cook cancer in the kitchen, didn't they? Your mom and dad knew how to move to make cancer, didn't they? Your mom and dad knew how to have a relationship to have cancer, maybe. They knew how to work in a place to get cancer. They knew exactly how to turn the cancer on up here. And you learned all of that. My parents both died at 55 of a heart attack. Do you think I'm going to drop dead at 55? Of course not. My dad smoked 3 packs of cigarettes a day, 4 cigars, 2 pipes. He was a bus driver. He never, ever got off his butt. He drank 25 cups of coffee a day, and each one had 3 spoons of sugar in it. And he was on a mono diet of meat and crapped once a week. Think that had anything to do with it? Yes, heart disease is genetic. All disease is genetic. But the reality is I'm not living my dad's lifestyle. Therefore, I will not create that disease. When it comes time for me to die, I'll probably have heart failure. Okay? That's my genetic inheritance. All this heart disease in my family. The key is not having it now. Having it when I'm 150 or 250. Does that make sense? So everything's genetic. Don't worry about it if your doctor goes, well, you're genetically predisposed to have cancer. Well, if his parents were doctors, he was genetically predisposed to be an idiot. Do you know what I'm saying? You know, because that's what he grew up with, is all that talk around the dinner table. Everything is genetic. We are the children of our parents, and they were the children of their parents. And all the strengths and weaknesses get passed down. Okay? So don't let that word genetic scare you. It scared this person so much that they think because it's hereditary that maybe that's the missing link in this program. It won't work if it's hereditary. It's all about hereditary. It's all about inherited. This program will work. Got a person in here who's had a bad pap smear and they're concerned about it. Had a class 2 pap smear. Doctor made them feel that they have cervical cancer. Fear is a great sales tool. Imagine if you went to buy a car at a Toyota dealership and they said, you know, you don't have to buy a Toyota, but if you don't buy one from me right now, you'll die now. You'd probably buy a Toyota. Doctors have a great way of doing this to sell their position. Well, doctor, I have 6 weeks. I'd like to try a bowel cleanse. You don't have 6 minutes. You could be dead any minute. I'll wash my hands of you if you don't do what I say right now. Brenda talked about that. You know what a class 2 pap smear means? Nothing. They make you think that it's a cancer rating. It is not. I brought this book in just to tell you. Pap test results. Class 1. No abnormal cells seen. Ooh, you had a class 1 pap smear. What does that mean? Nothing. Ooh, you had a class 2. Class 2, atypical cells seen. That means non-typical cells seen on your cervix, usually caused by inflammation. You know what the biggest reason for a class 2 pap smear is? What causes that? A pap smear! They're scraping a piece of your cervix off. It causes inflammation. But you might say, well, but this was after I hadn't had a pap smear previously. Oh, do you know what the second biggest reason is for atypical cells caused by inflammation?
Sex.
You know, I don't want to speak that word, especially with what's happening with the president. Yes, guys, sex causes cervical inflammation. So what does a class 2 pap smear mean that this person's very worried about? Probably you had sex. Class 3, cells that are suspicious of cancer. Class 3 doesn't even mean cancer. It says that they're suspicious. If you would go to one of these labs, you'd laugh, because I've been to many of them. And the slides come through on this conveyor, chukum, chukum, and the person's got their hand on a chart and they're writing down. They don't even know if they're on the right name in half these labs. I mean, if you saw anybody in here that's worked in a lab, you'll know what I'm talking about. And they're watching this stuff go by in a blur, and sometimes they just look up and think about, I have Excedrin headache number 43, and then they're back down. Don't take any tests. I mean, a blood test is a freeze frame of a second in time. They're such jokes. Radiologists, you mix up their x-rays and give them back to them, and 50% of the time, they undiagnose what they diagnosed. Medicine is not an exact science, guys. Why was a pap smear designed? I'll tell you right now, because I absolutely know. To get ladies back into the office every 6 months or a year. That's why it was designed. A lot of medicine was designed, you know, and ladies too, while I'm talking about you, God, medicine was designed by men. And that's why we cut out a lot of uteruses, but don't cut off very many testicles. And I would not go to a doctor, even if it's a woman doctor, because it was still, she's still following the man's rules. Cancer poultice. We have some people here with tumors coming out of their body. The question is always, is my tumor going to come out of my body, or is it going to get dissolved within my body? A tumor can go two ways. Your body can dissolve it, and it'll eliminate through your liver and your bowel, your kidneys, your elimination channels, or your body's going to say, hey, I can't handle this load, and it's going to reject it out through the surface of your body. Which way is it going to go with you? I don't have the faintest idea. Nobody knows that. It depends on who you are, what your strength is. I've had brothers in my clinic, and one of them had they had similar lumps at the same time. One of them went out, one of them went in. The one that went out through the skin was a very kind of the weaker brother. The one that took it inside was the tough guy who always hit me when he came in the office. It depends on your system. You can't try to guide it or decide it or do it. It's just going to happen. So just watch it and observe and keep healing yourself. Focus on creating health, not on killing disease. That's doctors focus on killing disease. You just take care of yourself. Create the greatest healing environment you can set up in your life, physically, emotionally, and spiritually, and it's in the hands of God and nature. Let it go. Party. Hallelujah. But if you are determined that it is going to come out through the outside, there's a plaster I used a lot in my clinic, and get this out of your body, and this will help pull it out. Would you stop doing all the work you're doing internally? Of course not. People sometimes ask me that question, and I again think how disempowered they've become by medicine and science. Don't stop doing everything else, because you don't know at what moment this might quit coming out and go back in through the body. Hundreds and hundreds of patients that have pulled tumors out of their body. And then once the tumor's out, you start doing all the healing applications there, like slippery elm, like aloe vera gel. And forget about a lot of the stuff in the stores. Get yourself a cactus, even if you live up here. You can have a cactus in your house. Have an elevera cactus in your house. Have a bunch of them in your house. It's one of the great herbs. I just finished a $2.5 million video production that Sam Beiser put on. I know a lot of you know about Sam Beiser. And he came to California and filmed it. And the first two videos have just been released, called The Top 10 Herbs for Healing Big Diseases and Medical Emergencies. He changes the name every week. I don't know what it's called anymore. But aloe is one of them. And you can put on your healing herbs afterwards. If you want to draw or break it up, castor oil applications are really good at breaking it up. But this is what I would call a cancer plaster. Bleeding can become significant. Use your cayenne pepper. It halts the bleeding, coagulates it really nice, but increases the circulation. Pain becomes a factor. Ice is my favorite pain medication. Beyond ice, poppies are great, but they're illegal. Opium poppies, a lot of our good natural herbs have been restricted from our use, and opium poppies contain numerous alkaloids that are wonderful for pain. And although pain isn't something that we want to kill totally and all the time, there's a time and place to use it. And morphine, codeine, they're all great pain relievers, but they're illegal, so I can't talk about them. But anybody can easily grow poppies in their backyard. Here's a good question. How to get off medication? This person's on Premarin. They want to know how to get off. Here's how you get off almost all medication. Real simple, what I use generally in my clinic. Now, some medications you have to be careful with, but not that many. A lot of the heart medications, if you stop them, they kill you. They give you a heart attack, like beta blockers and calcium channel blockers. So we're not talking about them. But most medications, I usually tried once my patients were healthy. In other words, they were following for 30 or 45 days a good food program, a good elimination program, good movement, and a good attitude. We went with a 30-day program. And the first week, you just cut your pills down to 75%. And the second week, down to 50%. And the third week, down to 25%. And week number four, you take it down to zero. And while you're doing that, you could be increasing the things that you're doing to build up that organ or system. This question was specifically on Premarin, which we talked about. Premarin is handed out like candy to women before, during, and after menopause in the United States. It's made from horse urine, and it is toxic, and it causes cancer. It will increase your risk of cancer 5 to 15 times. And if you don't believe that, just pick up a physician's desk reference, flip to the back under the page 2000-something under Wyeth Ayrhurst, the manufacturer of Premarin, and they disclose it. They say that the rates of cancer have skyrocketed since the 60s, since people started using their drug, and that you get a 5 to 15 times greater risk of cancer. So they disclose it. They know it. And I had every week a woman in my clinic that the rug was pulled out from under her, because now she's addicted to hormones. The doctor took her off hormones because she has a cancer. And now she not only has cancer, but she has what's like PMS on top of it, and a hormone loss, a horrible situation. Had hundreds of women I had to deal with like that. But the same with what's the difference between an Iraqi terrorist and a woman with PMS? You can negotiate with a terrorist. I have my male jokes too. As a person with diabetes wants to know how to get off the insulin and is worried about the juices. A lot of people say don't use juices for diabetes. And I know this is cancer, but there are some diabetics here. There's lots of diabetics. Diabetes is rampant in America. Dilute your juices with water. I like to do that anyway. 50% distilled water, 50% fresh juice. They're a little easier to digest and handle that way. Dilute your juices with water. I've never seen it be a problem. Your sugar may temporarily go up a little bit, but everybody that I put on juice fasting was able to get off their insulin. We have tons of people out there that have thrown their insulin away. This is an advertisement. My ego tells me that if people would just watch this video, I could convince anybody to get involved in healing themselves. That's why I made this. We make all kinds of videos, but this was the one I wanted to make, which was an hour of me screaming at you, convincing you that you can heal yourself. And then if you still didn't believe me, we put on about 15 people after this that just happened to be at one of these groups that wanted to give their testimony of what happened. And we have the greatest people on here from all across America, from Jim Reinflesh, who from Idaho, who got his wife off the liver transplant list with a liver flush. I mean, come on, guys, it's easy stuff. There's just wonderful stuff. And there's a woman on here who got her husband totally off insulin doing the program. So sometimes you never know what's going to that's going to make sense to you. You know, I love downhill skiing, and I go skiing. And I've taken hundreds of lessons. But every once in a while, the instructor will say something that really clicks. You know, one instructor said, well, pretend like you're holding a cafeteria tray and you go down this way. And it's like, but I don't hold cafeteria trays. I don't eat at McDonald's. Another one was like, you know, be an airplane. But then one guy, an instructor said to me, pretend you're riding a bicycle, you know, downhill leg, you turn around down. Pretend you're just cyclic, like it's a cycle. That made sense to me. Didn't maybe make sense to anybody else, but I got it. I became a better skier. If you are trying to heal yourself of a disease that's killing you, surround yourself, engulf yourself, drown yourself in great foods and juicers. I got an idea. This is really radical. Buy them all. Buy all the juicers. Line them up on your kitchen counter. Come on, guys, and see which one you like best. See which one makes the juice. See which one's, you know what I buy a juicer for? Which one's easier for me to clean? Because it's a pain in the butt, I won't juice. That's the reality. You never know, so surround yourself, flood yourself, get it all. I mean, when you walk through my house, it's like some kind of museum of weird things to heal you. I just bought a new one last week. This thing I lie on that's supposed to make my spine go like this so I can be lazy, listen to music, read a book, and do my yoga with gravity instead of sweating. Okay? I buy it all. I buy all the stuff, the magnets in the shoes. I'm always buying more stuff and looking for new ways and taking more herbs and let's try juicing this and let's try this other juicer. In fact, in New York, I'm going with some friends and we're going to try the new Green Power juicer. And I didn't buy it last time because it looked too hard to clean, but someone said it's easy, so I'm going to check it out. I'm just as excited about going to that health show for all the new stuff I'm going to look at and buy to increase my health than to even talk or be there, guys. This is fun stuff. Man, I love tofu, tempeh. I can't decide which one I want to eat. This is fun stuff. You have to use your imagination and make it fun, but it's fun stuff. So I made this video because I was hoping that somewhere on here, your constipated, stubborn, idiot husband or wife or father or mother or son would go, "Kah! That guy makes a good point." That's what this is all about. This video is just to encourage people. It doesn't have any answers on it. It's just to encourage a person to take responsibility for their health and show them that if they do, they can heal themselves of what doctors say are incurable. Brain tumors. We got a number of people in here with brain tumors. A lot of people think brain cancer is worse than any other kind of cancer. It's not true. It's just that it's more personalized. Come on, it's between your ears. Some people think it's easier to deal with a cancer that's on your little finger than one that's right on your nose. It's right here. It's in your space. But what I saw in my clinic was it wasn't any different. It was just a blockage in a different area. And so what are we going to do now for the brain? Well, let's go back and look at all the categories. What about the food? What should we eat in our food program that's maybe better for our brain? I don't know. Is there any food that you can eat that when you eat it, your face turns red? Cayenne pepper. Okay? The only food I know that does that. What is that redness in your face? Blood. Yes, it sends blood up to the brain. Eat some spicier food. Our food could help us get more blood into the brain. What about ways that we could force more blood there? Well, how about that cold shower in Malvern, England? Too bad it closed down with the ice cold fire hose. You know, we go out in my backyard. We got a bodywork table up there. We got the cold hose. We're always torturing each other with hydrotherapy. Do some hydrotherapy right on the head. Do some castor oil packs right on the head. And when you go home at night and you go to bed, if you sleep in a bed, you know, just take those herb books that you're not reading, or the health books, or the diet. Buy a couple of those. And if your bed is kind of one of these bowset beds like this, put the diet right here. And that will slant this bed like this. And if you put a marble here, it would roll this way. And so your head is here. And that means that all night long for 8 hours, you're going to get a little more help to get blood to your head. And maybe when you go out in your yard, lie down in an area where there's a little hill. So you do some slanting a couple times a day. And how about if you get into some herbs, you start taking some things like ginkgo biloba, which we know brings more blood and oxygen to the brain. And if you mix it with cayenne, it works 100 times better than ginkgo on its own. And how about planting a ginkgo tree in your yard? You know, I planted a ginkgo tree in my yard 3 weeks ago. And I have some rosemary there, and I have my habanero chili pepper bush. And you know what I do? I walk through my backyard every day, and I pick a leaf of ginkgo off, and I chew it, grab a little rosemary, which is a brain tonic, and eat a chili pepper. That's my daily routine. I mean, come on, guys. Make this part of your life. Make it fun. Make it something that's exciting. Anybody can grow a ginkgo tree in their yard, even in a land that has no sun. There's 100 ways to get more blood to your head. Like I said, hot and cold, slant your bed, get on a slant, eat spicy food, take your cayenne pepper, ginkgo herbs. Just try to think of all the ways to get more blood in and out of your head. You can come up with it. And of course, look at what's going on in your head. You know, emotionally, what's going on in your head? What's going in and out of your head emotionally? And if there's any blockages there. Here's a person that has a disease, and I have no idea what it is. I couldn't even pronounce it. It's rare, and it's incurable. Well, I know right now, and hey, that's bullshit, okay? Excuse my French. Forgot where I was. I'm in church. That is wrong. I can't tell you how infuriated I make myself when I see that name, incurable. Rare, I don't care so much about. Rare is kind of cool. Okay, what do they mean when they say this person here has a disease and it's rare and incurable? What do they mean by incurable? Incurable by who? What they mean is what they mean to say is we can't cure you. So if you call a plumber up on the phone and you say, I'd like my toilet fixed, and they go, sorry, I don't know how to fix toilets. You go, okay, bye. You hang up on them. This person would probably, if they didn't know better, go through some horrible treatment. If a doctor says it's incurable, what they mean to say is, sorry, I don't have the faintest idea on how to help you. Maybe you should go to the Unity Church and go through a spiritual ceremony. Maybe you should go to the Catholic Church and be exercised. Maybe you should go to a natural healer and put herbs up your butt. Maybe you should go to a psychic surgeon. Maybe you should go to the hydrotherapy spa in Montage-les-Bains. Maybe you should buy a juicer. I don't know, but all I know is I don't know how to fix you. But do they say that? No. They say you're incurable. And you set that motion going. I'm incurable. I'm incurable. Well, I'm here to tell you that you are not incurable.